The second of our songs was, Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. How much I need you. And it's true, we all do. And what I want to talk about today is a couple of instances in Scripture where some people recognized their need. And maybe it's not explicit in the Scripture, but you'll see what I mean. So could you put the Scriptures up, Donna? There we go. This is Matthew 8. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Why would he say that unless he recognized a need within himself? He needed to follow Jesus for some reason. Okay? It's not explicit why. But he says, I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I've often been amazed at Scripture sometimes where somebody says something to Jesus, maybe asks him a question, and I marvel at his response because I'm saying, you know, does this really answer the question? Or what's he getting at here? It just seems, there seems to be some sort of a disconnect. And you might think that here as well. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Why would he say that to the scribe who says, I want to follow you, Lord? But we do know that Jesus understands our hearts. And he can read our thoughts, the intentions of our hearts. He knows everything about us, and he knew everything about this particular scribe. Now maybe the scribe came to him and said, I'll follow you, because maybe he thought there was something in it for him. Jesus had been performing these miracles. If he truly was the Messiah, oh wow, he's going to set up the kingdom of God. He's going to rule, get rid of the Romans and everything. Maybe he was thinking, oh, gee, he's going to be the king. We're going to live in palaces or something. I better get on the gravy train. Maybe. Maybe that was his thinking. Well, Jesus says to him, hey, I don't have any place to lay my head. I don't own anything. In reality, he owns everything, but as a human living on the earth, he didn't own anything. So you want to follow me, you need to recognize that, you know, the kind of life that you're going to live. You're going to come with me. It's going to be like being a nomad. You're just going to wander from here to there and everything. There's really nothing material in it for you. If you're looking for riches, if you're looking for a fancy place to live, if you're looking for whatever material things that you think might be in the offing, it's not going to be that way. You need to understand that you need to give up everything in order to follow me. That might have come as a shock to him, especially if he was thinking that, gee, down the road, you know, I get in close to Jesus, you know, I could really make out here. And that's a lesson for us too. You want to follow Jesus? We've all made that commitment. We need to understand, we don't know where that's going to take us. Just like Jesus said here, you know, foxes have holes, birds have nests. I don't have any place. I'm just going to be wandering around here and there. And if you're following me, you're going to be wandering around here and there too. I'm certainly not where I thought I was going to be a number of years ago. And believe me, I'm not complaining in any stretch of the imagination. But I had no idea. I mean, I grew up in Jersey and took a job with Xerox up here. Got laid off from Xerox, spent a year in Oklahoma City, then spent 3 years in the Philly area, then came back up here. It was all part of God's plan, but I had no idea of the route that I was going to be taking and then to come back up here. And now here we are. We just don't know. But it's all been good. I mean, yeah, there's been some rough spots and everything, but God has proven himself faithful and got us through every single thing. But it was all good in the sense that these were lessons along the way. If you're going to follow God, you just have to say, okay, Lord, I'm taking my hands off everything. You're the one in control. I need to let you do whatever it is that you want to do. I'm only an instrument. I'm not in charge. You know, I'm not in charge of my own life even. But that's part of the lesson for us. We don't know where he's going to take us. But we should not be afraid of that. Because no matter where we go, he's there with us. And the safest place to be is in his will where he wants you. If you could talk to Jonah, I'm sure you would get a much better perspective on that. Okay. All right. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Boy, that must have struck him. I didn't learn until recently that Jewish practices back then, burial practices, could take anywhere up to a year. Isn't that something? You know, we have the funeral service, and go to the gravesite, have the burial, and it's done, right? What does it take? No more than a week, several days. But back then, it could take up to a year. Now, I don't know all of the things that went on over the course of that time, but there were responsibilities that people had. Here's a man saying, please let me just bury my father first. Maybe he was the oldest son. If he was, then the responsibility for everything fell on him for as long as it took. And we don't know when his father died. Could have been recent, could have been 6 months ago. Don't know. But what he's saying is, Lord, I want to follow you, but, let me do this first. And Jesus is saying, no. Let others take care of that. Let those who are spiritually dead bury the dead bodies of those who have passed on. You want to follow me, you're going to come alive. And don't worry about those things. We don't know. We don't know where he was at in that. But that sounds similar to the things that we say to God, don't we? Lord, you know, we get an impression the Lord wants us to do something. We say, well, okay, Lord, but let me take care of this first. Let me do this first. Or I'm right in the middle of something. Why couldn't you pick a better time? It doesn't work that way. God's time is always the perfect time. And when he wants us to do something is the time that we should do it. Otherwise, it's just excuses. Now, maybe that's a harsh way to look at it, but how many times have, you know, and I've said it myself. Yeah, Lord, okay. I want your will in my life, Lord. I want to be obedient. And the first time he says, okay, I want you to do this, I say, ooh, gee, you know. Can you give me a little time? Let me consider this. We all do that, don't we? We shouldn't, but we all do. It's an excuse. Maybe we don't like the thing that the Lord is asking us to do. Maybe it's inconvenient. I've mentioned this to you before. One of the things that he's teaching me, or has been teaching me off and on over the past period of time anyway, is, you know, like I was in the middle of something and it pops into my head, you need to call somebody. Just an example. But it's a true example. I'm right in the middle of something. But yet, it's kind of a test. Are you going to be obedient? Or are you going to lean on your own understanding and say, well, gee, I got to finish this first? It doesn't work that way. The Lord wants us to drop everything and do what he wants us to do. And there's a reason for it. The Lord is never late, and he's never early. He's always precisely on time. So if he's asking us to do something at a particular time, it's because it's the right time to do it. So we need to drop everything and do what he's calling us to do. And the times that I did that, it worked out perfectly. The person he wanted me to talk to was available. We had a great conversation, whatever. And there are other instances as well. Not just phone calls, but, you know, other things. Maybe reminding me that I needed to do something else. So I need to drop this and do that. I don't understand why. But that's one of the questions you always ask. Why, Lord? Why do you want me to stop this and then do that? Doesn't matter. He has his reasons. Important thing is for us to just say, yes, Lord, and do it. And you'll find that you'll be blessed and it'll work out and everything will go smoothly. That's what he wanted him to do. I'm sorry, that's all right. This man that says, I'll follow you, but please let me bury my father. And the Lord is saying, no, that's not what I want you to do right now. There are others who can take care of that. I want you here now with me. That's the important thing. We don't know the results of either of those two examples. We don't know if the scribe followed him, and we don't know if this man went and buried his father anyway. We don't know. But the lesson is still there. Jesus is saying, what you consider important may or may not be. What I consider important is what I want you to do. And we need to follow him. That's part of following him, is just saying, yes, Lord, you want me to do this right now? Okay, lay this down and take care of that. Which leads us to this. This is later on in Matthew, just a couple of chapters later. He says this, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Bottom line, got to put him first, above everything. That may seem a little harsh in a sense. We love family, don't we? We love our parents, we love our siblings, we love our children, our other relatives, we love each other. God is not saying that's not important. He's saying, who's number one in your life? Who should be? Shouldn't the one who created you, the one who gave you life in the first place, be number one in your life? Shouldn't he be the focus of your existence? He gives you everything else. He gives you the love and family and everything, you know, the parents, the children, and whatever, to have a wonderful relationship and to love. He gives you that too. But if you put them above him, that's in effect worshiping them instead of him. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is he your treasure? Or are others your treasure? He should be. And that's the bottom line on all of this. If you love someone or something else more than him, you're not worthy of him. That's hard. But yet it's something that we all need to face. There's no getting away from it. Who do you truly love? Who is number one in your life? And maybe part of this whole pandemic thing is helping us to realize that. Who is number one in your life? That doesn't mean you don't love others. It just means that God is first. And obedience to him must take precedence over everything else. Nobody's perfect. We're not there yet. But that's the direction that we need to be going in. That's where he's leading us. To be more obedient to him. To be more like Jesus, who was totally obedient to his Father. To come here in the first place and then to die a horrible death on the cross. Being obedient to him unto death. That's the example that we have. Not that that's going to happen to us, but that's the type of obedience that he's bringing us to. So that no matter what, we say, yes, Lord. Knowing that no matter what happens, he's going to see us through and take care of us. Our lives here on this earth, nothing compared to what awaits us in heaven. Nothing. When we finally get there, we'll look back at this and say, I don't care about that anymore. And I'll bet that's the way everybody feels that has gone on before us. I don't even want to think about my life on earth anymore. That's nothing compared to where they are now. So, but that's something that we should be considering during this time of Lent. As I mentioned earlier, or a couple of weeks ago anyway, Lent is typically a time of introspection. We look at ourselves, we evaluate ourselves. Where do we stand compared to the life of Jesus? And his image that we are being conformed into. Are we more like him than we were, let's say, the previous Lent? You know, we need to evaluate ourselves from time to time. Not in a negative way to put ourselves down or criticize us, but to just honestly evaluate. Have we made progress? Are we better than we were a year ago? Have we borne more fruit? Where are we? Just an honest evaluation. There's no condemnation in any of this. But God wants to draw us ever closer to him. And when we evaluate ourselves honestly, and we look upon God and what he calls us to do and be and everything, we can cry out to him and say, Lord, help me. I want to be just like Jesus. Help me. I want to put you first. That's what he's looking for. What is the desire of our hearts? And if our desires are pure and we're being honest with him, great. He's going to get us there. So consider this as we get further and further into Lent. Ask yourself the question, who's first in my life? Have I been putting him first? Or have I been putting others or other things ahead of him? The Lord's not condemning you for it. He's saying, I want to show you a better way. I want your life to be more meaningful, to be more fruitful, to be, what's that word? I can't think of it now. More abundant. To have life more abundant. And that's the way. You put him first. So, I'll stop there. Okay. Well, let's pray. Father God, we belong to you. We are your children. And we're here because we have been obedient to you. You have said, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We're here because we love you. We desire to be in the center of your will. And Lord, we desire to have you as number one in our lives, in our hearts, that the focus of our lives should be around you. We thank you for everything else and everyone else that you have given us into our lives and the love that we share and the relationships that we have. But nevertheless, Lord, help us to truly have you number one, first in our hearts, in everything and in every way. That's a hard thing because we're human and that's not natural for us in some respects. But yet, that is still what we want, Lord. So help us to get there. Help us to put you first in everything. Thank you, Father. We recommit ourselves unto you. Here we are, Lord, your servants, your beloved children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. Make it so, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.